It's time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday, the 14th of April, 2018. Island Life is Waiheke Radio's weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues. The show is brought to you with the support of the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Oceanview Road in Oneroa. On Saturday, the 14th of April, John Armistead helmed the ship, and he took his unique view at Ireland national and international affairs, including a conversation with Dark Skies advocate Nala Yini Brito, and he talked to Lisa Garrity about Welly Belly, an upcoming comedy fundraiser for the Waiheke Primary School Camp.
Well, good morning, and welcome to Island Life here on Waiheke Radio 107.4 and 88.3. Today is the 14th of April. It is Youth Day in Angola, and it's also the 104th day of the year, meaning there are 255 shopping days. Well, days, not necessarily days that you can shop, till Christmas. Now, on today's show, we will be having all the usual Island Life fare, the weather, marine reports, cinema listing, as well as celebrity birthdays, celebrity sightings on the island, this day in history, and listeners' announcements. And we've got guests too. Oh, yes. At 11:10, I will be talking to Nala Yini Brito from the Dark Sky New Zealand about the initiative that could see Waiheke Island designated a Dark Sky Reserve, like its sister, Great Barrier Island, and its friend, Mackenzie Country. Well, the area around Tekapo, specifically. After that, at around 11:30, between 11:30 and noon at some stage, we'll be having our regular guest, Lisa Garrity, and Pippi in the studio to tell us all about the Welly Belly Laugh, which is the fundraiser to send some of the Waiheke Primary School kids on a trip down to the capital to see the wheels of... Well, it's not really the wheels of justice, is it? They could just go to the High Court for that, but... I don't know. The wheels of legislation in action. We were going to have a report from the Waiheke Rams under-6s and under-7s as they took on the Glenora Bears in their first game of the season. That would have happened down at the Causeway. Unfortunately, due to the rain that we had last night, that's off. So I guess we are going to get straight into some music. It's what they would have wanted. While I work on that technicality, why don't I tell you about an event that's coming up next week, where we will be having a fundraiser at the school for the kids to go to Wellington to visit Parliament. Did mention it at the top of the show, want to tell you something else about it, which is that I'll be doing a stand-up comedy routine in that event. That was the brief. I saw that the event was happening, and being that my kids are at that school, I saw Lisa and I said, "Hey, do you want me to do? Shall I do a turn?" And I just thought that loads of people would be putting their hand up, and some have. So that's next week. Well, it will have been done this time next week. So you should try and buy tickets for that. But we'll talk more about that later. Well, isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely? I did say last time I hosted the show, but such are the gaps between me hosting the show, I forget a lot of what I tell you. So often I play the same songs, or I might repeat stuff, or I might make basic mistakes. But that's all right, because I think it all adds to the ambiance of the second Saturday in the month, Island Life, that I joyously prepare for you. And I did say that I would play this music as bed music, if you like, for the speaking part of the show from here on, because I really like it. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Get that advert off there. This. Isn't that lovely? I could talk all day under that. In fact, I will. As I told you earlier, it's the 14th of April today. Let's have a look down memory lane, shall we? We'll take a stroll down there on this day in history. On this day in history, in 2014, 276 schoolgirls were abducted by Boko Haram in Chibok, Nigeria. Now, is it just me, but you don't really hear about Boko Haram anymore. It's like they've gone out of fashion or something. Maybe that's just my ignorance. 2002, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez returned to office 2 days after being ousted and arrested by the country's military. In 1999, a severe hailstorm strikes Sydney, causing $2.3 billion of insurance damages, the most costly natural disaster in Australian history. That's interesting. Staying with hailstones, the heaviest hailstone ever recorded, 1 kilogram, 2 pounds, 2 ounces, fell on the Gopalganj district of Bangladesh, and it killed 92 people. In 1981, STS-1, the first operational space shuttle, completed its first test flight. In 1927, on this day, the first Volvo car premiered in Gothenburg, Switzerland. And on this day, 106 years ago, in 1912, the British passenger liner RMS Titanic hit an iceberg in the North Atlantic. This happened at 20 to midnight, and the ship itself sunk on the 15th of April, 1912. And finally, in 1828, Noah Webster copyrights his first edition of his dictionary. Correct me if I'm wrong, I think Webster Dictionary is the American dictionary. So what he's saying really is Noah Webster either was very lazy, he may have been dyslexic, but either ways, that's simplified English. But good on him for managing to pull the wool over the eyes of whole nation and increasingly the rest of the world, it would appear. It must have been quite an achievement. Like, you know. Alright, let's get back to some tunage.
Tunage!
That's another word made up talking about Webster and his super dictionary. So you listen to Likey Radio. We have a lady coming, well, we'll be talking to via the phone, a lady about the Dark Sky Reserve that's being proposed for Waiheke Island. And we'll also be talking about the school fundraiser, the Welly Belly Laugh show that's going to be on next week, next Friday. We'll be talking to Lisa about that. That's what we've got coming up in the hour between 11 and 12 today. We're all on Waiheke Radio, 88.3, 107.4.
Wakey Radio.
And I'll tell you what, let me find something here. I wanted to play you something, just something a bit light, which I'm going to do presently. So here is that. A little bit of a trip down memory lane again for all of you.
The Day-to-Day 24 Live now stays with those terrorist attacks in New York and Washington. Both towers now gone. Later, what is a hijacked airliner and how does it crash? But first, our correspondent Peter O'Hanrahan is in New York at the moment. He went there to cover the World Trade Organization talks due to start today at the World Trade Center. He's on the line now. Peter, where are you and what's going on?
It's a clear, crisp morning in New York, Chris. A crackle of anticipation among the delegates at breakfast. A lot at stake here. These talks could be the big yes or no for the Eastern economies.
Right, so Peter, can you tell us exactly what the situation is currently in New York?
Well, the situation, I'd say, it's eggs over easy for the Germans, eggs over not bad for the Japanese, and eggs over pretty grim for the Russians.
So the meetings are going ahead?
That's right, Chris.
And where are they being held?
Here at the World Trade Center.
You're at the World Trade Center?
Yes.
Whereabouts exactly in the World Trade Center are you?
I'm in that in the restaurant, the Windows on the World restaurant, Chris. Floor 107, sipping a cappuccino.
Floor 107 no longer gives a particularly good view of New York.
Well, it does from where I'm sitting.
It's now part of the basement.
I think. pulling my leg, Chris.
Are you near a television?
Yes.
I'd like you to turn it on.
I'm going to a television in the restaurant. There's one of those.
Yes, just get on with it, please.
Right, the television's on.
Tell me what you can see.
Well, it's quite bizarre. I'm actually looking at an image of the World Trade Center. I could almost be looking at myself if I waved.
What can you see?
Well, there's a plane in one of them. Yeah, actually, we didn't hear that. The sound insulation in these buildings is extraordinary. There is a plane that...
Keep watching, Peter.
What? Oh, my God. One of the towers has collapsed. Fortunately, not the one I'm in. The one I'm in is one of the towers. The tower I'm in is collapsing. I'm collapsing, Chris, under the sheer... I've managed... I'm out! I'm not there.
Where are you?
I'm in a hotel in Midtown, the Marriott, my hotel, in my room.
Why did you say you were at the World Trade Center?
Because that's where I was supposed to be this morning.
You overslept?
I slept longer than I'd anticipated.
Would you like to revise your appraisal of the situation in New York in light of what you've just gleaned?
Yes, I can, Chris.
Go ahead.
I'm a man standing at a window of his hotel room. Very grey day. A very grey day for the world, Chris. It seems like a movie...
Peter, you've added nothing. That's Peter O'Hanrahan from New York on a day which yes, would go down as a... Be quiet!
Celebrity sightings for this month. There's been quite a few. We had some waves made on the media with one of the people that was seen. I'll start with him. Former US President Barack Obama, a lot of rumours that he was coming to Wakey Island, and he was actually seen on Tifau Point. I understand he'd gone to get a meal there, but it's no longer a restaurant, so he sort of went there and landed the helicopter and... He was bored, so I'm told he started to worry those llamas at the top. He was feeding them at first, but grass. He was just feeding them grass out of his hand, and then he started to squawk at them like a big goose. Anyway, he moved on from there to Erarua Road Takeaway, where he bought a battered sausage. Barack Obama, man of the people. Celebrity chef Jamie Oliver was seen on the island with his wife Jules. They were spotted at Ray White's. Apparently Jamie had been caught short and asked if he could use their loo, and I'm told he did not leave the men's room in the state he found it. Nigella Lawson was seen coming out of the village butchery with a steak and kidney pie and a can of Double Brown when she was on the island. May have been last week. Who knows? I mean, it's hard to. I'm surprised she got in the country, really, with a cocaine conviction. But there you go. She, I suppose she was the, still is the daughter of a former Chancellor of the Exchequer. I guess that probably opens some doors for you. Dave Gilmour from Pink Floyd was seen at Finis, where I'm told he did not tip the waitress. Apparently he ordered a meat lover's pizza and a magnum of... Actually, no, it wasn't a magnum of anything. It was just a magnum, the ice cream. Shakira was seen in her gumboots down in Urupu last weekend. Apparently she was trying to flog off some old meats. She had giblets, liver and kidneys. Apparently she was selling that to people trying to feed their dogs. And finally, former UN Secretary General Boutros Ghali was seen waiting in traffic in Ostend. Apparently, he thought no one had seen him, and he was picking his nose. Some sources say he was up to the knuckle. Why do they never tell us about nice stuff? Whenever I get these reports, it's always, oh, look at that one. They were picking their nose. Oh, they were fighting outside the chippy. You remember the Dalai Lama fighting outside the chippy over vinegar a few weeks ago. Why can't it be something nice? Oh, Barack Obama, he's worrying llamas. Come on. You know the address. Just send them into our lovely new website. Give me a list of your celebrity spots, and I'll read them out next month.
G'day, this is Dave Dobbin here. It's a beautiful day. You're on Waiheke Radio.
I've got Mariani Brito on the line from Dark Sky New Zealand to tell us a bit about the proposals or the initiative to get that status, the Dark Sky status for the island. Are you there, Mariani?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the show, and it's a pleasure to have you on here. So tell us about what exactly is a Dark Sky Reserve?
A dark sky reserve is a place where the night sky is free of light pollution and it shows a darkness, it can be measured, of a certain threshold, above a certain threshold. So that's how it's defined.
And, of course, Waiheke Island, we've got lots of areas on the island where there isn't any light pollution. But there is, I guess, would, you know, if we did get status for that, would it be the far end of the island, or would it include the whole island? What would be the idea behind that part of it?
Okay, let me put things in perspective.
Yeah.
In New Zealand, we now have two dark sky places.
Yeah.
One is in Araki Mackenzie. This is the Tekapo area.
Yes.
They have become a dark sky reserve. And there are different levels. So they are a gold level dark sky reserve.
That's
the highest level. And then the Great Barrier Island is a dark sky sanctuary. It's slightly differently designed,
yeah,
defined, because it's an island and it's sort of fragile and isolated. And it has got, funnily enough, the threshold for them is lower than for gold reserve. But as it happens, they are darker than Tekapo.
Oh, right. Yeah.
The perspective. Waiheke, I have done the measurement right around the island, and the average for the island is at the bronze to silver level of a reserve or a park. A reserve normally has an observatory right in the middle, like Mount John Observatory in Araki. So Waiheke is likely to become a dark sky park.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't have it's really a conservation initiative. And as you say, the western part of the island is darker than the eastern, the more populated part. That's a fact.
Yeah.
But what's amazing is even the eastern part of the island is dark enough. It's like the bronze level, whereas the other end is silver moving to gold level. So so one part is darker than the other.
Wow. So we really do live paradise by day and by night, really. We're very lucky here on the island.
Right. That's exactly right. I mean, I have seen on a dark moonless night when I was measuring, I was stunned to see the Milky Way, not the full glory, but a sort of a more skeletal Milky Way, right over Martiatia car park.
Wow. Wow.
It's well lit. I mean, this was about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So since then, you would have noticed there's more lights and Auckland Transport's doing its thing and sort of whatever.
Yeah.
But what I must explain is this is really a conservation initiative. It's like, you know, controlling air quality or water quality. It's actually the sky quality.
Yeah.
And also light pollution, there have been lots of studies done to show that it disrupts a circadian rhythm that we living things have got used to. And American Medical Association has put out a study saying this is bad, really bad for the health. It's bad for, you know, the fauna and even the flora, because the pollinators are being impacted. They're getting disoriented between night and day. You know, because there's so much light now, artificial lighting. So it's really a conservation initiative.
Yeah. And so what stage are you at in the process of getting that status for the island?
Okay. So there are three components that one needs to attend to. One is to establish the sky quality, which we have already done.
Yeah.
The second is to make sure that, you know, the community wants it. There's public outreach. People understand, you know, the benefits of dark sky and they want it. And, you know, so many support letters have been received from community groups. And generally, so far, no one has been against it in any way.
Mm.
And we are continuing that effort. In fact, this coming Saturday on the 21st of April, we are planning to have a little stall at the Saturday market.
Oh, yeah.
To have posters and brochures and explain what it's all about. And that evening, weather permitting, we will have free telescope viewing so people can actually appreciate what the, you know, the starry sky offers.
Oh, magic. And that's what, next Saturday?
Saturday, because it's called the International Dark Sky Week, this coming week.
Right, okay.
So we thought we'll do that on Saturday to celebrate that on the island.
Oh, wow. What a serendipitous interview then. we've timed that to perfection, I think.
Brilliant timing, John.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah. So I think you guys were up at the autumn fair, the harvest festival at Fossil Bay, and you were doing a similar thing there. Would that be right?
That's right. We were invited by them. They felt it would be good for the community. So we did that there, and that's what gave us the idea we should actually do it more often.
Yeah.
And we are willing, if community groups, you know, different sort of little villages around Waiheke, if I can call it that, were to invite us, we are very happy to go and either have a stall or have a talk or do free telescope viewing on a dark night.
Yeah, well, you know, if anyone's listening, how can they get in touch with you, Nalini? Facebook, isn't there?
Yeah, we have a Night Shift Facebook page, which my colleague Kim Wesney runs. Or they can Google Dark Sky NZ. We have a web page. We have email addresses. Messages can be sent.
Yeah.
So we are very happy, to do what we can to engage the community.
Lovely.
And also it's an educational initiative, no?
Fully.
And darkness is what our ancestors lived in and enjoyed.
Mm.
So there's a whole sort of series of things we can do. We've worked with the school, Waiheke High School.
Yeah.
We have collaborated with the Waiheke Walking Festival, 2 years running.
Right.
And the Waiheke Art Gallery sponsored an astrophotography exhibition late last year.
Yeah, so it sounds like you've got really good connections here on the island. But what I'll do, if you don't mind, I'll post a link onto the Waiheke Radio webpage just so that people can know, you know, how to get information from you guys online. But yeah, that's really great, and what a great initiative! And I'll hopefully see you next Saturday with my kids down at the market.
There's one third piece.
Yes, please. Sorry.
Which is is a landscape management plan.
Yes. You know?
As I said, Waiheke is already dark. We have spoken to Auckland Transport. We are partway through a rollout of LED lighting,
right.
Which has positives and negatives. The positive is they're trying to minimize the sky glow. The negative is it's actually blue shifted light, which is really bad. But they have told us they'll dim the lights from 11:30 at night to 6 a.m. in the morning. So there are little things that can be done. And even at an individual level, we are asking people to take a stock. We are not asking anybody to change their behavior immediately.
Yeah.
But it's a bit like saving water on the island or not using plastic bags on the island on a voluntary basis. If people can just take a look at the lights they have on and see if there is something they can do to reduce them, you know, shield them or put them on a timer or switch them off beyond a certain time,
yeah.
That will all contribute to keeping Waiheke darkness sustainable.
Yeah, and that's only can be a good thing to be able to look at the heavens above us. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show, Nalini, and hopefully I'll see you down at the market next Saturday with my children and show them the cosmos.
Okay, that'll be wonderful.
Yeah.
See you then.
You have a great day.
Okay.
See you. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
All right. I'm joined in the studio by Lisa Geraghty and Pippi. We're here to talk about the Welly Belly Laugh Show, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Just put your microphone a bit closer to your... Yeah, let me turn you up a little bit. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
All right. Well, I think that's working. Maybe it's just my hear. You know what? It's my headset. I had it turned down. You're quite clearly coming right through the radio. So everyone else can hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even though I'm sort of sitting right opposite you, I was the one who couldn't. So, we've got a big show next week,
yeah,
Friday.
We have.
What's happening?
Well, it's for the Wellington trip and for the Waiheke Primary School kids. They go every 2 years, and we need to raise quite a significant amount of money because it costs around $700 per kid. So, obviously, the parents have to work like beavers to help fundraise as well.
Yeah.
So we've put on a show called the Welly Belly Show, which we did about 3 or 4 years ago that went down really well. And basically it's a comedy show for people to come out of the woodwork and try stand-up and skits and all sorts of stuff. And I can go through the program with you. And the Waiheke Comedy Troupe have volunteered their services in the second half, not that it's difficult to do. And we're hoping to raise around $7,000 for the night in both silent auctions and in numbers of tickets.
Right.
Sales.
Fabulous. So last time they did it, did they get to the target?
Yes, we did.
Fantastic. So when is the trip? When do we need to get this money raised by?
We need to get this money raised by the second week of term two.
Which is?
That's when we're going down to the Wellington camp.
So what is that? What's that like? July, I think? August?
It's in May.
Oh, right. Soon. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to do our best. So tell me, what's on up there?
Sure. So we're having John Brown and Ella Deer open with a comedic song that they did in Kaleidoscope's Old, which was a couple of years ago. It was an absolute crowd pleaser. We've got MC Lance Driver from the Waiheke Comedy Troupe, then followed by Charlie Grimshaw and Stephen Hollins. Doing a comedic skit that they've written, so they're quite excited about doing that. Then we've got yourself as it turns out.
Me? No! Yes, no, that's true. I'm going to do it, yeah, for...
I'm a writer delivering it to the audience, man.
Yeah.
Then we've got another stand-up, and we can interview you about that in a minute. Then we've got Corin Healy, who's coming over from Auckland. So he came here about a month ago and did a really funny Waiheke-themed stand-up, although he's not a Waihekean in any shape or form. So we've invited him back again as well. And then it's going to end with some special guests all the way from the Olympics, the synchronised swimming team, men's synchronised swimming
Fabulous.
Team. Fabulous. Here on Waiheke, on the stage. There could or could not be nudity. We can't say that.
Josh.
But we're quite honoured with that. There's an intermission where there's loads of silent auctions.
Right.
I understand, got Nico, the wonderful French chef, is offering his chef services.
Right.
So we're doing things like selling for, you know, gourmet food and a gourmet chef in your home for 8 people, and you bid for that auction.
Yeah.
Amongst lots of other things, which really I should have had the list here because it's really disrespectful. I haven't. But anyway, it's really wonderful, and that's going to be on our website, which is Waiheke Primary School website.
Right. So it's all the information's all in the public domain anyway.
It,
so
it will be.
Yeah. All right.
You're just reminding me. That's what I'm doing when I get home. And then, of course, it ends with the Waiheke Comedy Troupe. What we're doing a little bit different, because we're several men down, unfortunately, is we're bringing in a troupe we've never performed with from Auckland.
Right.
So it's a bit scary for us. So we're improvising with improvisers we've never improvised with on. We don't know what's going to happen. So we don't know what we're doing on stage, and we don't know who we're working with.
Wow.
So that could be quite fun. All we're going to do is agree upon the games prior to doing it.
So yeah.
New people playing with new people. So it's all for the trip to Wellington.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So what do they do? Do they fly you down, or do you go on a bus or something?
We are going on a plane.
Wow, that'll be why it's so...
What are you doing down there, Pippi? Tell John.
Well, I'm pretty sure the first day we are going to Parliament.
Oh.
Yes, that's where the Prime Minister is.
Cool.
And then we are going... we're staying in a marae down there. I forgot what it's called. But after dinner, we're going to go to the movies on the first night. And then the second day, we are going to Te Papa.
Ah, Te Papa. Oh, cool. Magic.
But what's the cool bit? What's the bit you're also going to?
With a workshop.
Yes. Oh, wow. Gosh.
Yeah. And the last people before this people that went down, they actually got to meet the Prime Minister in person. So
ooh, kind of wow, John Key.
Might have been, but others were.
Yeah.
And what else are you doing? What's the thing you're most looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to the Island Bay Marine Reserve. But
oh. Right. So there's actually quite a lot to do. I was thinking, well, Parliament, yep, that'll be it. But then, obviously, it's quite a lot to do down in Wellington. Sounds good. So, and they're flying you. Wow, yeah. Gosh. Wow, we used to get on a...
How many kids?
There are 55 kids, and there are 10 adults, including the 2 teachers. So that's 65 people going down.
Wow, that's some trip. 55 kids on a plane.
It's a wonderful bonding and educational...
Oh, sure, it will be.
...sevens and year eights. One of the things that happens in year eight is that they, next year, of course, are going to high school. So it's,
yeah.
This is their last opportunity to be responsible...
Yeah.
Of the school, because they're head of the primary school, isn't
yeah.
there? And so it really gives them an opportunity to get a little bit more independence and to see more about the world.
Mm.
Well, not the world, but how New Zealand works.
Yeah, well, certainly a worthwhile course. Just enlighten me a little bit, because when people talk about year one and year two, because I didn't sort of grow up in that system, and I still get quite confused. I don't really... I know my youngest kid, he might be in year one or two. I'm not quite sure. He's not been there that long. And my older kid, I don't know what year he's in. He could be in any one of three. So, yeah. You know what year my son is in, do you?
7 years of age. What year
he's likely to be in year two.
Two? Okay.
That's not far.
He's been lying to me.
No, I mean it's three, not two.
All right,
I'm
yeah.
Just okay. Ages.
All right.
Yeah.
So, and so you go on this when you're what, 11, 10?
11 and 12.
All right. Okay. Well, what a night. Well, we're definitely gonna do our. I've been trying very practicing. Hard out for this, so because I want it to, you know, people are coming.
I'll interview that in a second, but I'm just going to do my pitch before I do.
Oh, go on then.
We really do need some more ticket sales.
Mm.
So far, we've sold 68, but we need 120 to fill the house. Otherwise, the parents are going to have to fork out more, which is a little bit hard.
Mm.
So we really need it. Also, because people, when they're performing, I hate to say this, but there is nothing better than performing to an actual crowd that's living and breathing and there and supportive. And I think one of the coolest thing about it is they're getting a comedy show, then at 9:45 when that finishes, we've got a DJ coming in and we're going to be dancing till midnight.
Right.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So you're getting a dinner, you know, I mean a dance and a a show and a dance,
yeah,
all in one hit for $25.
That's actually a steal, really, $25,
and
really.
Tickets are from artworkstheatre.org.nz, right. So just buy your tickets online. It's really easy to buy tickets, but it's a good night out for your run.
You can get them from the school as well, can't you, the tickets?
No.
Oh, you can't get them from the school?
No, you've got to do it all online. We did it all online.
Oh.
It's a lot easier.
Oh.
So, John, are you looking forward to doing your stand-up?
Yeah. Actually, really looking forward to it. Yeah, I've been practicing. Really, I've done a lot of practice. So if I get it wrong, it's not because I didn't practice, but it's quite. Yeah, I don't want to give it away. So
you don't have to, but the crowds are really supportive,
yeah,
particularly in that environment. They want you to do well. They don't actually want you to, and they'll do whatever they can to encourage you and
cool,
get you going.
So yeah,
I admire it. I think courage to stand on stage and courage to do a lot of things is good. It should, yeah, be sort of, you know.
Cool. Well, I'm going to talk to you off air about timings and all of that when afterwards. But just one other thing, and since I'm only on the radio once a month, and this is in my mind, these we've got the tote bags at the school they're selling. Is that part of this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you seen the drawings of the?
It's the whole school.
Yeah, I know. And there's one child that's gone beyond the realms of normality on the self-portrait.
Which one? There's a few.
And has added an appendage. It's on the top row.
Oh, my God. Really?
And it's gotten through, and no one's noticed. And, of course, it has to be my boy. And
I thought you were talking about the kid that drew himself as a leaf, but no.
No, you have a look on the top row. Just have a look on the top row at the biggest smile on it.
I'm going to buy some,
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we've bought several. They're going to. and a part of me is like, well, he's only five. Should he be? And then another part of me is going, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, that is pretty funny. Aren't you older kids supposed to be connecting them and checking the drawing?
That. the year 7 and 8, we got split up between classes to do it, so the people in, yeah, that class must have, like, passed it.
Oh, good, that's good. Pippi, pass the back on to another
child. Sweet. Well, that's a really great 21st birthday present, and everyone in the family back in England is getting, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to get my son into any trouble just yet, so we'll play a song here. This is Friendly Fires. Oh, so that's it. We've gone through everything. How much it costs, where we get the tickets from.
And just buy tickets.
Just buy tickets.
You buy tickets.
Yeah.
And fun night.
Tell everyone. Yeah. I'm telling everyone. I'm really looking forward to it. It's, yeah, going to be a great night. And that's next Friday at the Artworks Theatre at what, 7:30?
7 o'clock bar opens. Just sweet. Come to the bar.
Awesome. All right.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.